Welcome to this week's sermon from Heights Worship Center. We believe God has something for you today. We hope this message encourages and inspires you.
In preparation for this week, the Lord took me to a verse that I was really struck by at the beginning of the year when he gave me the theme for 2025, to live bold. And I wanted to put this verse in the message, and it just wasn't time. And then this week, I forget how, but the Holy Spirit drew me back to it and breathed on it. And so I want to go to Proverbs chapter 28, verse 1. Proverbs 28, verse 1. This is what it says. The wicked run away when no one is chasing them, but the godly are as bold as lions. So when I say live bold, we are to be bold as lions. This week, BEP is going to talk about how we have to remain strong, even in opposition from loud voices in the crowd. It's going to highlight the story of when Jesus was accused and arrested and brought before Pilate, and that whole story. So you can read it this week in our Bible engagement. But we're going to take time to look at Proverbs 28:1. What does it mean to be bold as a lion? This is what I believe it means, to be able to stand firm in faith in the face of danger, unafraid, and unyielding. And maybe I should add, after the worship today, unshakable. We will not be shaken. And this verse contrasts the wicked, the unsaved, and the godly, the saved. Now, here's the interesting contrast. It says that the wicked, they're paranoid. They run away when no one is even chasing them. There's a sense of insecurity. They have a guilty conscience. How do you know? Because when somebody has a guilty conscience, they tend to run and hide. They're quick to change positions. They don't stand their ground. They run. They're afraid. They're afraid of judgment. They're afraid. Save the godly. They're secure. They're steadfast. Why? Because they are confident in their God. So even when things happen, they don't run. They stand firm. They don't have a guilty conscience. Their conscience has been cleaned by the blood of Jesus. And they're fearless. John Piper, he's a pastor that I really like. He says this: there is a correlation between wickedness and fear and righteousness and boldness or courage. It doesn't mean that you won't see the wicked sometimes be bold or the righteous timid, but there is a correlation between wickedness and fear, sinfulness, rebellion and fear, and righteousness and boldness. Look at Proverbs 14, verses 15 and 16. Proverbs 14, verses 15 through 16 says this: the simple believe anything, but the prudent give thought to their steps. The wise fear the Lord and shun evil, but a fool is hot-headed and yet feels secure. See, it is wisdom for us to be thoughtful and wise. Here's what I would say to you today. Don't believe everything you read. Don't believe everything you hear. Just because it's the loudest opinion, just because it's the popular belief, doesn't mean it's right. Just because your favorite actor believes a certain way, doesn't mean it's right. Just because your favorite politician believes in something, doesn't mean it's right. Don't be quick to just take something at face value. That's what the Bible calls foolish, simple. But the wise, the prudent, they think about it. We live in an age, and you hear this term all the time, misinformation. There really is a battle of misinformation. It's called the lies of the enemy versus the truth of God's word. Don't get caught up in all the other stuff. That is the battle. Satan is called the father of lies. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So there is a battle between lies, deception, and truth. And because of media today and how it is so accessible to you and me now than ever before, the enemy is loud. Don't believe everything that comes at you. Because we are to be bold as lions. I stand for the truth whether it's popular or not. Come on, this is real life. Sometimes in the workplace, it can feel really intimidating to stand up for truth. Because everybody around you thinks something different and wants you to agree with them. Have you ever noticed the crowd mentality is to default to conformity? This is why, I don't know if you've ever made this connection, but when Jesus comes into Jerusalem riding a donkey, the crowds are gathered shouting, Hosanna, which means the Lord saves, by the way. The Lord saves, the Lord saves. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They were declaring that Jesus was the Messiah. Come, Jesus, come. Yeah. 6 days later, crucify him. Same crowd. Same people. So don't think you're beyond. Hey. Why? Because Jesus didn't come like they thought he would come. They thought he would come as the king, whip Herod's butt, kick out the Caesar, and set Israel free, but he didn't. Sometimes when God doesn't do something the way we think he should do it, we waver from a place of firm stance. Messiah! Crucify him! Don't be quick to judge. The simple believe anything, but the prudent give thoughts to their step. The wise fear the Lord. Now that statement, fear the Lord, is not to be afraid of the Lord. But fear as in respect him, reverence him, stand in awe of him, honor him. Why? Because he is God. The wise reverence the Lord and shun evil. But a fool is hot-headed and yet feels secure. So again, don't believe everything you hear. Do your homework. Search the scriptures. If somebody comes at you with a question and you don't know the answer, just say, I don't know, but I'll find out. Then search the scriptures. Find out what the Bible says. Because it is foolish to not believe in God. It can make you hot-headed, reactive, and bold. Have you ever noticed that sometimes the loudest voices are actually the ones promoting sin? Have you noticed that the loudest voices are the ones that are shouting things contrary to the word of God? And they use such tactics like volume. If I'm just the loudest one and I get a few others who are the loudest ones, then everybody believe, the majority believe that way, and then maybe we can sway the majority to our side, even though we're only really a small portion of the population. But if we have the loudest voices, then we could sway people to our side. But as believers, we cannot afford to live that way. We can't just follow the loudest voices. We can't be swayed by what sounds good or what seems logical or what seems rational. We have to make sure that we stand upon the truth of God's word. We need to know what the Bible says about the issues of our days, which is why in this church we talk about the challenging issues. We talk about sexuality. We talk about racism. We talk about some of the things that you may not hear in other churches because you need to know what the Bible says. My opinion doesn't matter. The Word of God matters. Your opinion doesn't matter. Hello? Your opinion doesn't matter. The Word of God matters. And we have to be humble enough to let our opinion go so that we can discover what the truth is found in scripture. Sometimes it's the loudest voices that will use intimidation, shame, name calling, manipulation. There's a hint. If those are the tactics, it is most likely not of God. If you feel shamed into something, it's not God. If you feel manipulated into something, it's not God. If you feel feared into something, it's not God. Because that's not how God works. That's not how he leads. It's not how he speaks. Learn to pay attention to the still small voice of the Holy Spirit going, something's wrong with that. noticed, and maybe you have observed the same thing, is that the loud voices, they're loud because they're actually insecure. They're loud because they're afraid of rejection. They're loud because they want to be liked and loved and accepted. I don't know if you've made that same observance, but behind the loudness is a cry for acceptance because they have insecurity. But we, the righteous, are to be bold as lions. We are to live secure in God based on our faith in Jesus Christ. And then because of that faith, we stand firm and we respond differently than the sinners around us. We are to be bold as a lion, undaunted, unshaken, unyielding, willing to take a strong stance, not on opinion, not on tradition, not on preference, but on the truth of God's word. And as Christians, sometimes that's hard for us to decipher between. I want to read you this quote from Blair Park in an article I read on BibleStudyTools.com. It says, boldness comes from an inner certainty that whatever is about to come against you, it won't triumph because of what you have inside you. I like that. This inner certainty for those who are righteous is knowing that we are saved by Jesus and are in a restored relationship with God. So to be bold as a lion means that that boldness comes from this certainty that God is bigger and greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. That if God is for me, who can be against me? Who can condemn me? No one. Who can accuse me? No one. What can separate me from the love of God? Nothing and no one. Both answers are right. It's that inner certainty that I have a firm foundation. I'm telling you, CJ, spot on, brother. Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand, right? When everything around me is shaking and the evil are fleeing and everybody's freaking out, I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus. Come on. Our firm foundation. He's never let us go, and he won't ever let us go. That's where our boldness comes from. Not a cockiness that we're right. Not a conceitedness that we're better than you. You are not better than anybody. Stop that. No one here is better than anybody else. We're all sinners saved by the love and grace of God. So that boldness doesn't come from a false sense of pride, like, you know, I'm righteous and, oh, praise God, you know. No, it comes from Jesus in us, the hope of glory. This is the same inner security that Jesus had when he was arrested and stood before Pilate. Man, you read this week, they were launching all these false accusations at him. And you know what he did? He stood there quiet. And Pilate says, hey, do you hear what they're saying about you? You haven't responded. Do you want to say something? I don't know about you. Have you ever been falsely accused? Staying silent is not your first response. To beat somebody up and defend yourself is probably your first response. But why could Jesus stand there quiet and silent? Well, we're going to read why. Look at John 13. John chapter 13, verses 1. This is the night that Jesus would be betrayed and arrested. When he was having dinner with his disciples and teaching them what he wanted them to know on his last night. And here's how the night starts. John 13, verse 1 through 3. Before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave this world and return to his Father. He had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and he loved them to the very end. It was time for supper, and the devil had already prompted Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Look at verse 3. Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything, and that he had come from God and would return to God. This is why Jesus could face being whipped, beaten, crucified, betrayed, slandered, abandoned. Hello, aren't you glad? I'm so glad. Because he knew that he was ultimately over everybody else. Jesus said, no one takes my life from me. I lay it down. In fact, if you read what happened when he did die on the cross, the first thing he said is, into your hands I commit my spirit. Then he died. Guess what? The time of his death was also determined by him. Not physical results of the crucifixion process. He chose his death. Isn't that amazing? Because he had security. He was secure in who his Father was. He was secure in the love of God. He was secure in his position in God. He knew that he had all the authority. He knew who he was. He knew his Father. He knew where he was going. So he didn't have to say a word. And he embraced all of that for you and me to die on the cross. See, to be bold as a lion is to learn how to place all our security in Christ alone. Not in your achievements, how many degrees you have or don't have. Not in the position you have at work or you're attaining to. Not in the biggest size of your house or the coolest, fanciest technology in your car. It's in Jesus. It's not how big your 401k is or how small your account is. It's Jesus. It's not in the person you chose to marry or the kids you have. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. If we could come to a place of such security, hear my heart, then when we face difficult things, we will not be shaken. Because it is not about me. What I've done or haven't done, what I've accomplished, what I haven't accomplished, what I've succeeded in and what I failed in. It is Jesus in me, the hope of glory. We trust in his unfailing love, so we will not be shaken. That's what it means to be bold as a lion. Jesus boldly faced everything that happened to him because of this deep inner security. He knew his identity. He knew the love of the Father, and he knew his mission. You and I need to become deeply secure in God our Father, in his love for us, in our identity as his children, his dearly loved children, and the mission, the plan, the purpose that he has called us to. That will enable us to stand bold as lions. And that brings us to the next point. To be bold as a lion is that inner security based on Jesus, our firm foundation. And that was the exact words in my notes. Our firm foundation. Proverbs 28:1, the wicked run away when no one is chasing them, but the godly, the righteous, are as bold as lions. So we see another contrast between the wicked and the godly. You will either act in fear or you will stand in faith. I'm going to say it again. You will either act or react in fear, or you will stand in faith. See, this points to the issue of conscience. Is your conscience clean before God, or are you living with a guilty conscience? John Piper also says that guilt is the parent of fear. And we see this in the garden with Adam and Eve. They enjoyed a perfect relationship and connection with God. He walked with them and talked with them. That's where we get that old hymn from. Every day until they sinned. Did God stop walking and talking with them? No, he came out the same time looking for them. But they ran in fear because shame, guilt is the parent of fear. So people who don't have a clear conscience because it has not been washed clean by the blood of Jesus, they will react in fear. It will cause them to run and hide or to join a crowd so they feel like they've got some kind of support around them. A guilty conscience will change the way we act, the way we react, and it will impact our relationship with others. I want to define righteousness by the word of God. Go to Romans chapter 4. Righteous is one of them churchy words. So here's how the Bible defines righteous. Romans chapter 4, verse 5 through 8. But people are counted as righteous, not because of their work, but because of their faith in God who forgives sinners. David also spoke of this when he described the happiness for those who are declared righteous without working for it. Oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sins are put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of sin. So what is righteous? You got a clean record. By faith in God, not works. Not works, but faith in Jesus Christ. Because the reality is, good works will not save you. They won't. I don't care how good of a person you think you are, you're not perfect. We need the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. Only the forgiveness of sins. Look what it says. You're counted as righteous because of faith in God who forgives the sinners. So to live as righteous means I live as one aware that I am cleansed of my sins. Now my identity is not sinner. My identity is saved, righteous. Some of you can't get over your issue with sin because you see that sin as your identity. You are not your sin. You have been set free from your sin. Your identity is the righteous, clean, forgiven child of God. Satan wants to define you by your job, your 401k. Nah, that's not right. He wants to define you by your sin. Don't let him. You have been forgiven. I love what, look what David wrote this before Jesus died on the cross. He was prophesying to the other side of the cross. Oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sins are put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of sin. Wow. If that doesn't excite you, I pray that your faith gets reignited this morning. That should excite you. I'm so grateful that when God looks at me, he doesn't see my sin. He sees his son. He sees the blood of his son. He takes our sins and he casts them into the sea of forgetfulness. Just because you can't forget it doesn't mean God didn't already. Hey! Just because that person won't let you forget, God already forget. Forget, forget. Wow. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, that you see us as with clear records. A clean conscience. This understanding that we are saved by faith. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The truth that we are forgiven, that we can live free of guilt and shame and condemnation is what empowers us to be bold as lions. If you're lacking in boldness and faith, this might be part of the problem. That you're still struggling with the sense of shame. Or guilt or condemnation. But let me remind you, Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation. When? Now. What? No condemnation. When?
Now.
What?
No.
You know who else lived bold as a lion besides Jesus? Paul. Look at Acts chapter 22. Acts chapter 22. Verses 30. Paul's on the last journey. He's on his way to Rome. He knows that that is where he will end his life and his ministry. He gets an opportunity one more time to talk to the Jewish high council because he's arrested again for preaching the gospel of Jesus. And in Acts chapter 22, verse 30, here's what it says. The next day, the commander ordered the leading priest into session with the Jewish high council. He wanted to, talking about the Roman commander. So Paul is standing before the Jewish leadership and the Roman commanders. The Roman commander wanted to find out what the trouble was all about. So he released Paul to have him stand before them, the religious leaders. Verse 23, chapter 23, verse 1. Gazing intently at the high council, Paul began, "Brothers, I have always lived before God with a clear conscience. And then he preaches with boldness. Don't miss the correlation. You say, well, how can Paul live with a clear conscience? Paul murdered Christians. I mean, I'm not that bad, but yo, bro. And he says, I have always lived with a clear conscience. And I read that and I go, really? Are you sure about that? Because he understands that his sins are forgiven, that they're cast into the sea of forgetfulness. He is not bound by his sins then. He is free to be bold for Christ now. Some of you need to hear that. He is free from everything in his past. What he did, what he messed up with, it's gone because he knows who he is in Christ. His conscience is clear because of the blood of Jesus. Therefore, he preaches with boldness. The very first thing he says, I have always lived with a clear conscience. That was his way of saying, buckle up, I'm about to preach in this house. Paul was arrested, he's on trial. But even Paul understood that there is a connection between the clearing conscience coming through faith in Jesus Christ and the boldness to be faithful in standing our ground for Jesus. I want to read 1 Corinthians 4, verses 3 and 4. But personally, this is Paul again, I'm not the least bit concerned if I'm judged by you or any verdict I receive from any human court. In fact, I don't even assume to be my own judge, even though my conscience is clear. But that doesn't mean I stand acquitted before the Lord, for the only judge I care about is him. This is deep. This is one of those things where you're like, huh? Sometimes you can get lost in it. He's like, let me break it down for you. He basically said, the only judge that matters is God. Not my own judge, not you or anybody else. Only God's opinion matters. Tell your neighbor, only God's opinion matters. God alone is the judge. It only matters what God says. When you stand before God, and yes, you will stand before God, every single person ever alive, we will stand before God at the throne in heaven. And I'm telling you, we will answer for every word, every act, every motive, everything in secret and everything in public. We will stand before God, and in that moment, it doesn't matter if our boss thought well of us or not, if we were popular or not, if we were influential and had a lot of followers or not, if we were wealthy or not. All that matters is what God says. Wake up to the eternal reality that we live in. To be bold as a lion means that I live with this truth that God alone is my judge. Even if I offend people for standing in the truth. Now, you know what I believe. I believe don't be mean. Don't be rude. Don't fight for the sake of fighting. Don't argue for the sake of arguing. God doesn't need you to defend him. And we need to be willing to stand bold for the truth of Jesus Christ. And you can do it in love, with gentleness, respect, by the way you live your life. That's how we're going to end in Philippians chapter 1. Philippians 1, verse 27. Above all, you must live as citizens of heaven, conducting yourself in a manner worthy of the good news of Jesus Christ. I want to phrase that in a way that I read it this week, and I thought it was so good. Live your life in a way that shows the worth of the good news of Jesus. I like that. Live your life that shows the worth of the gospel. Paul goes, then when I come, whether I come and see you again or only hear about you, I will know that you are standing together with one spirit and one purpose, fighting together for the faith, which is the good news. Don't fight over the style of music. Hello? Don't fight over the minor stuff that Christians fight over. Stop it. Fight for the gospel. Fight for the gospel. Don't be intimidated. I want you to look at verse 28 closely. Don't be intimidated in any way by your enemies. Enemies here is not the people. For our battle is not flesh and blood. It is spiritual. Don't let the devil see you intimidated. Here's why. Look at it. He says, don't be intimidated in any way by your enemies. This will be a sign to them that they are going to be destroyed, but that you are going to be saved, even by God himself. So here's how this relates to being bold as a lion. When you are in a situation where you're being bullied to deny the faith, to deny the truth of the gospel, to give in and compromise, when you refuse to do so, the people are not the enemy. But guess what? The people will see it, and it could lead to their salvation. Do you see that? The Bible is saying, when you refuse to be intimidated, look, it will be a sign to them that they will be destroyed. It will be a sign to them that they need Jesus. It'll be a sign to them that you have something they want. It'll be a sign to them that there is hope. And you have the answer for hope. So don't be intimidated. It's a sign to people. It's a sign to the enemy that you will not be shaken. You know what? The enemy, he really doesn't have that much power. If you didn't know that, it's true. And he will do something to bother you. He's like a bully. And when he gets the reaction he wants, he will keep at it. And you know when he will stop? When it no longer elicits the reaction he wants. He's just a big bully. So when you and I stop reacting to the enemy who's trying to bully us, then he's like, well, that don't work anymore. Gotta find a new tactic. What about the economy? What about the economy? The economy, oh my gosh, what are we gonna do? I don't know what to think about the economy. When it freaks you out, he's always gonna draw your attention to the economy. But when you learn, well, you know what? I'm a citizen of heaven. And his economy is greater than this economy. So no matter what happens in this economy, because I'm a citizen of heaven and my finances are in obedience to him, then I live in his economy. So no matter what, I'm good. And then you know what he says? Well, man, that don't work anymore. Let me find something else. Hey, I'm trying to help some of you get free. I'm trying to tell you how to get free. Paul says this in the last verse of chapter 1. We are in this struggle. Oh, back up. For you have been given not only the privilege of trusting in Christ, but also the privilege of suffering for him. So just understand, to be bold as a lion doesn't mean that you will be popular, well-liked, accepted. You will get persecuted. You might get prosecuted. It is the reality of what we live in. If they hated Jesus first, they're going to hate you now. If they mocked him, they're going to mock you. And I like how Paul says it. It's a privilege. It's a privilege. When you and I are persecuted or mocked or shunned because of our faith in Jesus Christ, don't count it as loss. Count it as a privilege to be able to suffer for Jesus. And Paul says this, we are in this struggle together. You have seen my struggle in the past, and you know that I am still in the midst of it. So here's what I want to bring to you. Here's what we got to look at. You put the slide up. To live bold as lions is to have trust and confidence in God and his son, Jesus Christ. It's an inner security of who he is, who you are in him, and in the mission that God has given you. Well, you know what your mission is? Go therefore into all the world, preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them everything that Jesus has commanded us. That's your mission, every single one of us. That's not just my mission, that's your mission. Live with a clear conscience as one who's been forgiven through faith in Jesus. To be bold as a lion means that only God's opinion matters. So it doesn't matter what the crowd says, it doesn't matter what the influencers say, it doesn't matter what my family says, all that matters is what God says. Live your life in a way that shows the worth of the gospel. Bold faith, bold love. Stand and fight together as one in spirit and purpose. I think this is really important, church, because we are prone to the crowd mentality. And that's why it's important to come to church. That's why it's important to have good godly friendships. That's why it's important that you are in small groups. Why? Because it's those connections that will encourage us to stand strong. It's those relationships that will remind us that our faith in Jesus Christ is worth fighting for. And if you're not surrounded by people who believe like you, who live for God like you want to live, then you might succumb to the crowd mentality. That's why he says, stand together, fight together. But what do we fight for? Not Heights Worship Center. We fight for Jesus, for the truth of the gospel. Refuse to be intimidated, live undaunted, unshaken, and be ready to receive persecution and suffering as your highest privilege. Will you stand to your feet?
Thanks for listening to our podcast. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Visit us in person or online at hwcim.org.